A Prairie Schooner Princess by Mary Catherine Maul. CHAPTER I. THE STRANGERS. From under the curving top of a canvas-covered prairie schooner, a boy of about 15 leaned out, his eyes straining intently across the brown level expanse of the prairies. "Father," he called, with a note of anxiety in his voice, "look back there to the northeast. What is that against the horizon? It looks like a cloud of dust or smoke." In a second prairie schooner, just ahead of the one the boy was driving, a man with a brown bearded face looked out hastily, then continued to scan the horizon with anxious gaze. Beside him in the wagon sat a blue-eyed, comely woman with traces of care in her face. As the boy's voice reached her, she started, then leaned out of the wagon, her startled gaze sweeping the lonely, untrodden plains over which they were traveling. Inside the wagon, under the canvas cover, a boy of 9, 2 little girls of 7 and 12, a curly-headed little girl of 5, and a baby boy of 2 years lay on the rolled-up bedding, sleeping heavily. The time was midsummer, 1856, and the family of Joshua Peniman, crossing the plains to the territory of Nebraska, which had recently been organized, were traveling over the uninhabited prairies of western Iowa.
"Does he think it could be Indians, Joshua?" asked Hannah Peniman, her face growing white as she viewed the cloud of dust which appeared momentarily to be coming nearer.
"I can't tell. I can't see yet," answered her husband, turning anxious eyes from the musket he was hastily loading toward the cloud of dust. "But whatever it is coming this way. It might be a herd of elk or buffalo, but anyway, we must be prepared. Get inside, Hannah, and thee and the little ones keep well under cover." In the other wagon, 2 younger boys had joined the lad who was driving. On the seat beside him now sat a merry-faced, brown-eyed lad of 14, and leaning on their shoulders, peering out between them, was a boy of 12. The twin of the 12-year-old girl in the other wagon, with red hair, laughing blue eyes, and a round, freckled face. Sam was the mischief of the family and was generally larking and laughing, but now his face looked rather pale beneath its coat of tan and freckles, and the eyes which he fastened on the horizon had in them an expression of terror.
"Do you suppose it's Indians, Joe?" he whispered huskily. "Did you hear what that man told Father at Fort Dodge the other day? He said that Indians had set on an immigrant train near Fontenelle and murdered the whole party."
The boy on the driver's seat did not answer. With his wide gray eyes focused intently on the cloud of dust in the distance, his tanned face strained and set, he craned forward every muscle of his body at rigid attention. Presently he handed the lines to the brother who sat beside him, and reaching up into the curving top of the wagon, took down a heavy old muzzle-loading musket.
"Do you think it is Indians?" the boy asked, his hands a bit tremulous on the lines.
"I don't know. Can't tell yet. But we've got to be ready anyhow.
Better load up your rifle, Lige."
The brown-eyed boy wound the lines around the whipstock and took from a rack under the cover a long-barreled rifle. They had seen many roving bands of Indians on their journey, but had never been molested by them. But at the last settlement they had passed through, they had heard horrifying accounts of the scalping and massacre of settlers and immigrants by the red men. On the old overland trail between Fort Laramie and the South Fork of the Platte, there had occurred an Indian uprising a few days before, the terrifying news of which had reached them at their last stopping place. As Joe leaned forward with eyes fastened on the horizon, he suddenly uttered a cry.
"It's a wagon!" he shouted. "An immigrant wagon like ours!"
From out of the cloud of dust that drifted across the prairie, an object could now be discerned.